bop, bobbity bop, beep bop, beep bop. Boobity bop, bop, bidididy bop, bobbity bop, beep bop, bop, bop. Yes, live from Harlem, New York City. It's me, I'm Alex Bennett, and this is a ramble. Ladies and gentlemen, out to the West Coast we go for the lovely strains of Larry Brown and his orchestra. Hi, Bubs.
Hello, Alex.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a great weekend working with an old cohort of yours.
Who was that?
Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Wow. Yeah. Jimmy, it's funny how Jimmy and I go back, you know. He was an engineer, board operator, we call them today, at WMCA in New York. And he used to be the board operator on my show many times because they were all, you know, rotated and so on. And he was trying to be a comedian at the time. And he kept saying to me, hey, I'm going playing at the such and such this weekend. Why don't you come see me? And I said, well, I'll give it a try. And I never went. Okay? Because Jimmy didn't seem to me to be the kind of person to be a very good comic. But I liked him a lot and everything. And he finally, you know, he just got his break and became a star, at least for a short period of time. And
that sitcom was huge.
Oh, yeah. Nice guy. Really nice guy.
Great guy.
And I've seen his act since, and he's a funny guy, too. You know.
I think he told me he started stand-up. He did his first stand-up in 1969. Is that right?
That, 1969. When was I in New York for the first time?
I think you were in New York then, right?
I think I got here. Oh, you said 69?
Yeah.
That would be about right. Yeah, because I was in New York. I was at WMCA. I'm trying to remember when I went to WMCA. But
he was a board operator. Oh, I didn't know that.
That's how I knew him. You know, he came and did my show in New York on Sirius XM, and we sat there waxing poetic, you know, about our days back then. Really nice guy, you know. And he was very complimentary of me, which, you know, anytime you do that, I love you. You know, so, because I don't have much depth. I just praise me, and I'm yours, you know. So how is he?
He's got a great act. He lives in Las Vegas, and he still does the road a little. And he's probably, I think he's 79.
Wow. Yeah, he would be about my, you know, in my age range. Okay. How is he healthy? Is he feeling good?
He looked very healthy, yeah. He's not. When he was on TV, he was, like, so thin, and he's still thin, but he's not as thin as he was. But.
Yeah, yeah. Well, none of us are that thin, you know. Yeah. Have you gained a little weight? I haven't seen you in a while.
Well, I'm still running, so I've kept it off. So.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I keep putting it on, so, you know. But anyway, you know what's happening? We're going on a vacation. The first one that
you're taking a cruise.
First one that Marjorie and I have done since China back 10 years ago, 15 years ago. We haven't taken a big major vacation. We've had short ones. We went to Paris, you know, things like that. But that's it. So we decided, you know, I got all this money from Shaggy. We decided, you know, how long are we going to live? And by the way, with the stock, with the stocks, it's gained a lot of money. So I better start spending it. Right? Although I made up my will, and I don't know if I told you this, but I put you in my will. So.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, because great. I was talking to you the other day, and you said that, you know, you got enough money to live on, you do well, you get gigs, and so on and so forth, but the day is going to come when you can't. And you were worried that you didn't have anything saved up for that. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you told me that, we were making out the names, and I said, put Larry Bubbles Brown in there.
Oh, God, that's great. Thank you.
You know, the reason I'm doing this with some people I know is because Shecky left me a sufficient amount of money. All right. It was at our age, a life-changing amount of money. It allowed us to have a lifestyle in our old age that's okay, you know. And I just felt, when I was thinking about who am I going to give money to, I started thinking that I wanted to give it to people that this money would be life-changing, you know, and I think this will help you a little bit in your later years, so... But I got to die first, and so does Marjorie. So.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know.
But that, that does kind of worry me that I have to, I'm okay now, but I do have to keep working, and then suddenly you'll be at an age where you can't work. And
yeah, well, I just know that it's not a ton of money, but it's a lot, it's enough that it would help you out, okay, when you're old.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, well, you know, I wasn't going to put you in. I hadn't thought of putting you in. And when you told me that story, I told Marjorie the story, and I said, we got to leave him something, you know. There are a few other people that I've, you know, that either have money problems or whatever that I know.
Well, you were a generous man.
But, well, where this would be life-changing. Well, look, I'm not a generous man. I'm going to be dead, for crying out loud. Where, how am I going to spend the money? And if we do manage to spend all the money, then you guys aren't getting anything, you know. But,
yeah,
you know, it has to be some money there to be able to give out, so... But what we're doing is we're going on this trip, and it's costing a fortune. You know, we're getting a suite on a ship, you know, and all of that. So Marjorie wanted to take a cruise. She said, let's finally do that. We didn't like the idea before. And she said, I'll talk to my travel agent. And so the travel agent found a tour in Greece, a cruise through Greece and Croatia, and put it together for us. So now Marjorie, suddenly I show, you know, I say, look at what we're doing. And I showed her the, the boat, the ship. I had a video of it. And she went, that's gigantic. You know, and it is. It's, mm-hmm. It's a huge boat. It holds 2,700 people.
It's a floating city.
It absolutely. And here's what they do on these cruises. Do you know what the two major things they give you for free are? It's a deadly combination. All the liquor you want, at least if you get a suite like me, we get the liquor free. Okay. And endless amounts of food. I mean, there's this food court, and there's this restaurant, and there's this thing, and they've all got, like, and it's good food. It's really terrific food. But, man, oh, man, it's like, you know, a heart attack on the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, all they're doing is feeding you. And they do have a casino there, too, but it's not very big. It's just enough that you can play some cards and lose and leave. Right. But so Marjorie is now kind of like, oh, God. And then she found out that our suites, all these suites of our type are right under a dance floor above us. So, you know, maybe a little trouble going to sleep at night. I don't know. But anyway, so she's now going, really? I don't know if I. And I said, you called the woman. You told her what you wanted and we got it. You know, and if you want to put us in a cabin, you didn't. I said, I'll show you a cabin. I said, you can barely change your mind in there.
Well,
and I said, so I got us a suite. So, you know, and the suites run somewhere in the neighborhood of ours is about $16,000 for 10 days. But, you know, it's great. It's terrific. You know, so we get all the food we want. We get off at all these various stops, and I can't walk, so we're getting wheelchairs everywhere. Even though I can walk, but I can't walk long distances. And then we get off at some stops, and I guess we can get on a bus and pretty much stay on the bus, and they take you around on a tour or whatever. But basically what I wanted to do was to go to the go to our room and pretty much just veg out, you know. That's what a vacation is for me. So that's what we're up to. And
maybe you'll have a comedian on board.
Oh, there is a comedian on board, and I don't even want to go see him. He's probably some second-rate comic. I mean, this is, to begin with, this is Greece, so it's probably a Greek comic. Yeah.
Gymnopoulos.
Have you ever noticed when you fill up your gyro, it doesn't have enough meat? I mean, come on. They have these shows. They have shows with, like, this very famous transsexual performer. Boy, I'm really up for that.
Well,
you know what happened when I was a kid? There was a club in San Francisco. Is it still there, Finocchio's?
I think it is, yeah.
Finocchio's had nothing but female impersonators.
Right.
And you would go to it, and you would see the show, and you go, oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That's a guy? Really looks good. Yeah. And now, today, you go on a ship, and they go, hey, we've got this transsexual performer. You know, I go, I've been there, done that. You know? Show me something new.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And plus, we get a person that we can have on call at all times to help us out with anything for what we're paying. But what, for what we're paying, I'm still going to have to pay $500 more to get the good Wi-Fi so I can send back videos. So it's
oh, okay.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, it we'll see how it turns out.
Might get some good stuff out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, at least if nothing more, Marjorie and I can send back videos complaining. You know,
it's always good.
You know, hey, you know, this is really something. oh boy, you know, so.
You can do the Leon Klinghoffer joke, and
yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah. All I can think of is at my age I could be Leon Klinghoffer, right? I'm glad you remembered the name. Did they ever find his body? Yeah, they did, didn't they?
I don't think so.
This is a guy who was how do we describe it? He was kidnapped or hijacked on the open seas, and they held.
He was on a cruise ship, and mm-hmm. the cruise ship was taken over by terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
He was Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and the terrorists, I think they just threw him overboard.
Something like that, and he died.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be the Leon Klinghoffer of my time.
And then a week later, there was some comic on a cruise ship that said the food was so bad, the catch of the day was Leon Klinghoffer.
Oh, Jesus!
Yeah, and apparently people got so angry the comic had to be airlifted off the ship.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you. But, you know, what's amazing to me is what you can say today and can't say.
Yeah, you can say some really horrible stuff and then some stuff you can't touch at all.
You can't touch at all. You know, we just had this guy get murdered, which is terrible. You know, we don't like murder. Murder bad, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say
yeah,
that.
Can't
Let me say that. I'm against.
That,
I'm
no.
against murder.
Yeah, but, we're taking a stand here.
But Elon Thomas, who is a pastor of the Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church, put up a post that is short, sweet, and to the point. And it said, and this is a couple of weeks later that this is being played, so it maybe isn't even appropriate, that there is nowhere in the Bible where we're taught to honor evil, and how you die does not redeem how you lived. You don't become a hero in death when you're the weapon of the enemy in life. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
You know, but what I'm saying is, as a comedian, could you make comments about that? I mean, you're not a political comic, so you really wouldn't do it. But could you make a comment about like that in your act if you were a comic somewhere to get and were able to get hired again?
I think that would be too hot to bring up.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, it's too hot to bring up. But you should be able to bring it up, right? Especially in the context of comedy.
I'm totally for free speech, so, but just...
Yeah.
So many people aren't. So.
Well, today, there isn't any free speech. I mean, you got to be... Do you find... Well, your act is not... There's nothing in your act, I think, that's controversial.
No, I stay away from politics.
Yeah, you stay away from politics, and you stay away pretty much from anything that's controversial.
Yeah.
You know. So you don't have a problem. But if you did today, would you be careful about what you said on stage?
I think so, because if you do political stuff, even out here, which is very liberal, I think 35% of the state voted for Trump. So if you make an anti-Trump joke, you're going to lose a third of the crowd.
Yeah. Unless you're maybe a comedian who they know is a left-wing comedian, and that's why they
yeah,
go
if they
to
know
see
you, if that's what you're selling as a left-wing comedian, then that's fine. But then
I mean,
Lewis Black
could go do old material like that and wouldn't get hit bad for it,
right?
You know, but it's a very bad time for people who are creative and in what the expression of their thoughts are and able to do it. You know. I, as a broadcaster, am hired by radio stations to be a talk show host and be controversial, right? That's mm-hmm. part of the job. I mean, our morning show in San Francisco was, there was an element of bad taste, wasn't there?
Of course.
Yeah. But
that's what you paid.
Yeah, but that's what you paid me for. And then you're going to come back to me and say, we're firing you because you're too edgy. Yeah, come on. That's what you hired me to do. That's what you encouraged me to do. I mean, like, for instance, this guy Charlie Kirk, and I don't want to get political here, but he said the kind of things he said because he wanted to make a buck. Let's be honest. All podcasters want to make a buck. You get up, the more people you have watching you or listening to you, the more money you get paid by YouTube and all these various things. Facebook will pay you money. I got a little small check from Facebook just for putting shows up there. You know?
Really?
Yeah. Guys like Charlie Kirk was worth about $12 million, and he was pretty new to the, you know, to the business. So, I mean, he went on and said the most obnoxious things he possibly could, the most controversial things he possibly could, because he knew it would get him eyes and ears. And so we live in an age where people who are the most object, you know, they're saying things that in the past would have been considered just terrible, are now heroes because, they're speaking out against injustices. No, they're not. They're really doing that so they can boost up the numbers and make good money for your show. So, you know, that's the whole marketplace out there. So people are being encouraged to be bad.
I don't think the stuff we did, did we ever get death threats?
I think I
There's
got
always a, nutty people out
I,
there. That
I think
have,
I got a couple of death threats. One guy phoned into the station, and the general manager said, "What do we do about this?" And I said, "Ignore it. He's not. They're going to kill me. They're not going to call me first. You know, they're not going to call somebody and say, we're going to kill Alex Bennett today.' Yeah, right. You know, real assassins always call in there. You know." Nobody called in to Charlie Kirk, you know, and said he was going to get shot at. You know, so I never took them seriously. And the station.
Who was the talk show host that got shot?
Alan Berg. God,
Alan Berg. Okay, I think.
Not very good at remembering names, but somehow that one just came right out. He was Jewish, obviously, with a name like Berg, and he was a left wing talk show host, basically. And he worked.
That would have been in the 80s?
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to remember when it happened, but they, they came along and they killed him. Okay. Shot him. I think it was outside the studio, if I'm not mistaken, but I can't remember. But, by the way, we didn't lower the flags at half mast for him. and he died for all the same reasons that Charlie Kirk died.
He died for free speech, yeah.
Yeah, he died for his political opinion. I remember Alan Berg, yeah. That was quite a situation.
Well, they made a movie about it. He was played by...
I'm trying to remember.
Bedrosian? What's his name?
Bedrosian? Bogosian.
Bogosian or something.
Bogosian. You say Bogosian, and I say Bogosian. Eric Bogosian.
That's it.
Yeah, he did a play on Broadway, really. It started out as a play on Broadway about this. It isn't actually about Alan Berg, but it's supposed to be Alan Berg. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we can't, but anyway, it was supposed to be Alan Berg. And it was a play about that whole thing. But so don't think it hasn't happened before, folks. It really hasn't. I'm glad you brought up Alan Berg. That was a perfect example. Couldn't be more perfect. The only other person I can remember being shot for his opinion. And the opinions that Charlie Kirk had were horrible. Just horrible. Just terrible. I believe he has the right to say them. I would never try to stifle his freedom of speech. And that's the terrible part for a comedian. I mean, if you've got a political act, you probably have to pack up and go home unless you're right wing. Because today, there's nothing you could put in your act which would be considered okay.
I know.
We got Will Durst. He's doing comedy again. Sit down, I think. But he's doing it. But I'm wondering if he's being, the material. I'm going to have to call him, do a thing with him on whether he's feeling he has to temper his material.
Yeah, I asked him about that because Will used to play... He kind of made fun of everybody, right and left.
Yeah, but he was basically a left winger, and I imagine today Trump is a main source of jokes. Okay, but I just want to see if he's tempering himself because of you're going to love this word, the zeitgeist. Zeitgeist means?
No.
Germans had great words for everything. And this was one word that described a whole concept. Zeitgeist was the tempo of the times. Okay? So if you ever have a chance, you can use the word zeitgeist.
I like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Germans were very good at coming up with words like that. So anyway, so you worked with JJ. Wow.
JJ, yeah.
Did my name come up at all?
Yeah, he remembered you and spoke nicely of you, and I think that's when he started stand up in '69, and then he moved to L.A. and he got a sitcom that became, as he told the crowd, he said there was only three channels then. We had a big audience.
There was only three channels and two catchphrases. So
dynamite.
And he had, he was very successful. I was very happy for him, you know. Nice kid. Really
good guy,
nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're running out of time here as usual.
Okay.
You know, I enjoyed talking to you. I hope you enjoy the same
as always, as you. And I wanted to thank you for you did a little thing for me at the Radio Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes. Well, I did. Let me just say briefly, I'll run over a little bit here. Is they have an entrance to the Bay Area, not Hall of Fame, but the Bay Area Museum of Radio, whatever. And as you walk up, there are these bricks, and you can buy a brick, and you can put three lines on it. So what I did was I bought a brick, and I put my name on it, Alex Bennett, at the very top. I hope you don't mind I didn't put it at the
I don't mind billing.
at the top. And then I put Lori Thompson, okay, on the second line, and the third line on the block is Larry Bubbles Brown. So
that's great, man. I've never been in anything. So.
Well, I just figured, you know, I wanted to buy these bricks because I just felt we needed to exist into a certain amount of time. Okay, and you were along with Lori, the two other people, who really made that show in the morning, you know, and made me help make me successful. So, I want to say thank you.
Funnest time of my life.
Yeah, well, it was for me too. Hey, listen, we'll see you next week. Okay,
you will.
Wait a minute, when's this going to be broadcast? I can't remember. If I'm on vacation, it won't be next week. But if I am not on vacation, it will be next week.
Okay.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now in its 11th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you very much Bubbles. Let me turn on my lights. I forgot that. I don't work for a couple of days and I forget stuff, you know? It's what happens in my life. It's the way I am. Anyway, excuse me for being out for a couple of nights, but again, I was running a fever. I don't understand it. And I'm still running a temperature tonight of like 99.3 or something like that. But that isn't considered dangerous. I wasn't in a dangerous category anyway. I don't think I went over. I think I went over 100 at one point. But I don't know what it is. It's been going on for weeks. And I take Tylenol, and immediately, no temperature at all. You know? That works. So I don't really completely understand the problem, and I don't know. And we're due to go on a vacation in a couple of days, and I hope I'm in good shape to do it. We're going to go to one of those clinics tomorrow, those walk-in clinics, and ask them what we should do about it, you know. Because they may just give me an antibiotic or something like that to kind of help it along. But I don't know what it is, you know. And I can make it go away with just some Tylenol. So, whatever. So, anyway, I'm doing this tonight kind of feeling a little, you know. But I'm okay, you know. It's all right. And I'm happy with it, so, you know, whatever. So I'm happy to be here. I'm just happy to be here. Okay, so what do we do? Yeah, I don't have any aches or anything either. That's the other weird part about it. And I don't know what it is, but I went down to, at one point today, my temperature was 97.3, okay, and it stayed that way most of the day, and then all of a sudden it started going up, and it got up to, you know, 98.6 or something like that, and then it started going up towards 99 and then going over 99, so yeah, I don't know, I don't get it, and I hope I can go on a vacation, and if I can't, I'm sure I can go on a vacation. I will, maybe rest will help me survive this. But anyway, we're going to go to one of those walk-in clinics tomorrow just to see what they have to say. And, yeah, of course, there's no one I can contact now. I don't have any real doctors that can handle this. I'm thinking it might have something to do with my, CLL, my leukemia. But when I look up leukemia, it doesn't really make fever as a major, you know, problem with that. So I don't know. I give up. Anyway, there's some people waiting to come in here. Let me see who they are, first of all, so I don't bring in anybody that's going to, like, you know, put up some terrible videos. Yeah, here they are. We got a good crowd, good little crowd, people I like. Admit all. Okay, here we go. And we admit them all. There's Mark Thorner, and there's Kevin, and there is the lovely and attractive Josh Wheeler, and best of all, Tom Yamaguchi. Hi, Tom. I don't have your mic on. There we go. Now talk. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. You're fine now. Yeah. And Charlie Wallace is joining us too. So. You know. Anyway, how you doing, Mark?
Oh, spent the day on the phone with technical support, getting stuff dealing with technology. Want to blow it all up.
But you know something? They really don't have tech support anymore. Mm. You know? It just doesn't exist. Do you know of it in any real form? Because you know when something goes down, and now you got to go take care of it, you're going to be on the phone for 5 hours.
Yeah, this was close to 3 hours.
Close to 3 hours, see? Yeah, I just like to know that I have a feeling that, oh, God, I've got to call. I go daddy for my whatever, and I can take care of it in 10 minutes. You know, they're very good about taking care of it. And they used to be pretty good about taking care of it. But they're not anymore. And it's because all these companies don't want to talk to you. They got better things to do. They sell you the product, and they say, good luck with it. You know.
But you don't want to talk to Bob.
Well, that's the other problem. Some guy whose language you don't understand, and I'm not being racist when I say this, but...
Right. I'm not either. But
you know, the fact
that... Hello, my name is Pete. How are you today?
I'll tell you what happened once. I told you the story. I get this person. I can barely understand them. Okay? And finally, I said to him, pardon me, but where are you located right now? And he says, Long Island.
New York City?
I felt like a piece of crap on that one. So, you know.
Yeah, well, he probably wasn't. Just like his name is Bob.
Yeah, right. Well,
no, I feel bad when I have to ask them. I go, can you please repeat that? I didn't catch it. Maybe it's the phone. No, I just didn't catch it.
Ultimately, you really have to insult them by saying, can I talk to somebody who speaks a decent modicum of English?
Oh.
You know.
Then you're in trouble. You're woke.
Well, no, that has nothing to do with woke. It has to do with I have a problem. When he explains how to solve it, I don't want to interpret what he's saying. You know?
You have a woke attitude towards a woke, unwoke person.
I'm sorry.
In technical support.
I'm sorry. So you were how long on technical support today, Mark?
3 hours.
3 hours. And what was, can you, I ask you what the problem was?
Yeah.
Didn't unplug.
Very funny. Updating a new Apple Watch. And I wanted to transfer the phone capability to the new watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually, nope.
If you have AT&T and you go to AT&T's site, there is a place there where you can click one button and it will do it.
Yeah, Verizon has the same thing, except...
It doesn't work.
It didn't work. And I'm not going to get into it, but it was like, oh, my God. I was just like...
To begin with, they treat you like you know nothing about computers.
Oh, yeah. Well, most people don't.
Well, it doesn't matter. I do know about computers, so don't insult me.
Yeah, that's the first thing I tell them is that I've already unplugged and plugged again.
Yeah.
Twice.
I also bought three new machines. Now, what are you going to do about this? You know.
Can we get to your fever for a minute?
What?
I guess.
Okay, I was listening to your monologue before you came on. You know, stress can cause it. Dehydration can cause it. You could have a viral infection, cold, flu, that type of thing can cause it to go up and down like that.
It's been going on for 4 weeks.
Oh. Oh, Jesus.
And as soon as I take, Tylenol, temperature goes right down.
Yeah, well, Tylenol is okay to take as long as you're not going to be pregnant, I guess.
Stop. Well, I was planning on it, but, you know.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Why is Trump so hung up on autism? You know, it's like a person that's guilty of a crime, and they keep telling you and everybody else, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. Pretty soon, everybody else realizes you've said it enough, and you probably did it, you know? And so I'm thinking maybe Trump is autistic or something. I don't know.
His son is. Barron is.
Oh, okay.
Is Barron autistic?
No.
On the spectrum is what is reported. I don't know personally.
Okay. He subscribes to Spectrum?
Yeah. That must be it.
Verizon.
Well, so maybe that's why he's all about, you know, autism and trying to blame it other than his defective sperm.
Yeah.
You know.
Sperm has bone spurs, for Christ's sake.
Melania looks like she would. Melania definitely looks like she would take a lot of Tylenol.
Yeah. Yeah, just to.
You know, she looks like she gets a lot of headaches.
Yep.
You know, and if you had to walk around the house with him in the house, she probably walks around with a bag on her head so she can't see what she has to look at him.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they don't spend much time together.
Yeah, she is now paid to be first lady. In other words, if she shows up for something, she's getting paid for it.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
She was on a talk show 6 months, a year ago, something like that, early in his second term. And they ask her, do you and Donald still sleep together, as a lot of older couples don't? And she says, we haven't slept together in years.
Well, you know, but I don't find that necessarily, as you say, unusual for people, at least his age or their age.
I don't find it unusual either.
Except when you look at what she looks like.
Yeah, she's fine, and he's like, you know, the rear end of a dog.
Right. So. Yeah. So I mean, that's kind of bad, you know. But he's not really, you know, wonderful.
There's probably not enough room for her and all the 14-year-olds he's got in the bed with.
No, don't start with that.
Hey, Alex. I don't know when you recorded that with Bubbles, or if it's a new one or not.
It's a new one.
There were two things I wanted. Okay, good. Alan Berg was shot outside of his home by white supremacists. Mm-hmm. It was not outside the studio. That was the film, talk radio.
Okay, and then well, yeah.
The second, well, yeah. And then the second one was Zeitgeist. Literally in German, it means time ghost. But yeah, we've appropriated it. I mean, I was surprised that Bubbles hadn't heard that term. I mean, that's so common. You know?
It means, at least I've heard it, as Zeitgeist is the tempo of the times.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. But literally, it means sight is time and Geist is a ghost. Zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Alan, have you decided about my whatever's wrong with me?
No, I just while you were talking about it, I Googled it because it sounded kind of strange, and I was also looking to see if it was related to leukemia. I like you. Can't find it. I mean, if you were really sick from the leukemia, But you would have a much higher fever, and it would just stay there.
Well, I would say that the Tylenol probably wouldn't mitigate it, you know. But still, I wonder if it, no, you know.
Now what Tylenol does is, yeah, it's suppressing the readings. But the other thing is this, Alex, if you're going on a cruise, I don't know if you've ever been on one before, but it's essentially, well, let's just put it this way. If anybody is sick on the ship, the odds are high that you'll get sick on the ship. Now, this is a very big ship, so maybe not, but everybody has to go in certain places. They eat in certain places. So just make sure you have hand sanitizer, you know, when you go to the buffet, that kind of thing. Oh, take a mask with you just in case.
Oh, hell with it. We're just going to order in, you know.
Oh, okay.
Because we can get...
Six cruises, never been sick.
What?
I've been on six cruises. I've never been sick on a cruise.
Yeah, but anybody here been on a cruise and gotten sick? Anybody here been on a cruise?
I never did. I want to, though.
Huh?
I never did, but I would like to go on one, I think.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you?
Well,
he might get to take my place next week, you know.
The reason why a lot of people get sick is a lot of people drink because they take up that offer with, oh, it's free alcohol, so I got to drink as much as possible.
And it dries them out, yeah.
I drank my ass off on every cruise. Still didn't get sick.
You know, I'm really not the guy to go on a cruise to begin with. I'm not all that hungry these days. And secondly, I never drink booze. So what's left for me to do on a cruise except sit in the goddamn suite, open up the window, and look out at the ocean?
I'd be like eating a dessert, Alex, and having my coffee and reading my books.
Listen, I should have known this. I could have actually taken four people on this trip.
Because
they have, but I don't want you sleeping in the same room with me, so forget it.
I'm going to get a drink.
So you're going to go get a drink. Okay, good. And you did a lot of drinking, did you, Charlie?
Yeah, I was drinking dawn till dusk.
The booze isn't free, is it?
No, but you get the package. It costs the same no matter how much you drink.
I don't know if when we book into the room, they have a liquor cabinet all filled up, and we can use as much of that as we want to. When we run out of that, we have to then, you know, pay for it. And they said, but they don't take credit cards. They don't take any credit cards or anything. We have to get points. I mean, it's just like what they do is they got you trapped on this ship, okay? And now they're going to bleed you for everything they possibly can.
Go down to the casino, play cards. They'll give you free drinks.
I don't want to go to the casino and play cards. That I don't like either.
Yeah, I don't want to lose money. I don't like,
Why are you going on a cruise? Why didn't you just
I have a great thing to say to them. Just leave me the fuck alone.
This is the room. Do not disturb unless my food is
ready. Yeah. Do not disturb, please. I will get very pissed at you.
I guess you won't be doing karaoke then.
No. Oh, no. God, no. Are there other people who are doing it? Are there other people who are doing it?
Charlie, when he was drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez almighty. Somebody shoot me. If this is what goes on a cruise.
You could be left alone in your own apartment, you know.
You know something? I told Marjorie, I said, I'm under the age where you want to go on
a cruise. How long is this cruise, Alex?
It's 10 days.
You get to go off the ship?
And we can go off the ship.
Yeah.
But I can't walk very well, so where am I going to go? You know? Oh, we got Mykonos, the party island. Boy, I want that.
Oh, check it right there. He liked it.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, there was a time in my life where Party Island sounded great to me.
I can see you there.
Basically, Party Island means, and the translation is, get laid. Okay.
I mean, I remember Jackie saying he couldn't see you on a cruise, Alex, when I was over one time visiting. You think he would? I don't know if he would.
Well, he offered to take me on cruises with
him. Tell me that, yeah.
So you're going to mess your hands up.
And I told him that I couldn't do it. You know,
yeah, he said that. I don't know if it's for him.
I really wish I had. Then I could tell Marjorie, are you kidding? She always said how she hated the idea of a cruise, and now look what she's roped me into.
I thought she would like it, Alex.
I think she'll probably wind up liking it more than me. She's planning on not liking it. She's got the whole mentality of this is terrible, it's going to be horrible, you know, whatever. And I'm telling her, you're probably going to like it better than you think you are, you know. But, you know, we can sit in that
Alex,
room.
There are people who live year-round on those ships.
Yeah, they do.
I know. Well, my business manager today was saying,
you need any of that.
Saying, you know, if you don't feel well and you don't want to do anything on the ship, you've got a suite. He says, I've gone and looked and seen the suite. It's huge, you know, by comparison to most cabins on a ship. And he said, you could just stay there and never miss anything, you know. But, I mean, I like staying at home, you know.
It's comfortable when you're not, yeah.
Call me old-fashioned. I've gotten to that point in my life.
I'm that way.
I think since COVID, Alex, I like going to the movies, but I'm comfortable in the house now.
Oh, COVID yeah.
Since COVID isn't changed, the big, right?
You know, Tony, isn't COVID isn't the big thing on ships with crowds. It's stomach disorders, like, you know, somebody that's sick with some kind of stomach virus, and then like Bree was saying, they go through the, you know, through the line and they touch something, and then you go grab the same scoop later on and don't wash your hands before you eat or sanitize, then now you've got the same.
Well, they do have doctors on these ships, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Right? So yeah. I expect you'll hear this a lot. Hello, doctor. It's Alex again.
Well, if you remember the first big outbreaks of COVID was on cruise ships.
Yeah,
well,
didn't that ship
one of them dropped here down into Oakland. It was there for like two three weeks.
I remember that. Well, they were all foreigners.
Yeah,
they didn't want them spreading the germ here in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. Yeah. But this
you could stage that that opera, the John Adams Death of Klinghoffer. could be Klinghoffer, and Marjorie could just push you right off in the wheelchair, right?
Right, right. Yeah. But we won't have a wheelchair on this.
You know, tour. I do want you to know, Alex.
In case
you haven't been following the news, there are ships in that area that are being attacked.
I'm wondering now. I'm just wondering if our ship.
Yeah. So just watch out for flying drones.
I'm just wondering if ships these days that are out there actually have weapons, but that we don't know about.
Not a cruise ship.
How do you know? With all the stuff that happens.
They could have cruise missiles.
Could have cruise missiles, yeah.
There you go. You could go cruising, too. Because most of the time, cruise ships aren't hit by these bandits. They want the big, I don't know. I guess I've never heard of a cruise ship being taken over by pirates.
Well, what about Klinghoffer?
Okay, well, that was terrorists. But
what's a terrorist? Those are the kind of people that go and rob these boats, you know?
Well, you know, the good thing about him is him and his wheelchair, did they ever find him?
You know, technically, Alex.
I don't know if they did or they didn't, you know. But how do I tell them if they do come on the ship and they do try to take it over? How do I tell them, yes, I'm Jewish, but I'm not one of those kind of Jews?
Why don't you just tell them that you're Alex Bennett? Let's do a show.
Yeah, right, right.
You could do your show from the ship, Alex, if you've got that $500.
Well, that's what I'm going to try. I'm going to try at least having Marjorie and I doing our little shows. But, I don't know how.
Well, of course you can. And they got Starlink.
It'll be better than what you got there.
No, but we don't know. We don't know yet. You know. What is that noise?
That's probably a waitress.
Is that a waitress? Bree, is it a waitress?
Not yet. The restaurant isn't open yet, so we're waiting.
We're waiting.
Open at 11:30.
Oh, it doesn't open until 11:30. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it gets a pretty big line here sometimes.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's nice. Yeah. But how you doing, Josh?
Good. Good. How are you doing?
I wish I felt better, you know. I mean, part of it could be the pressure of this trip, and I don't
know
if it's not.
Yeah, that's definitely.
But when I start getting the fever 4 weeks ahead of time?
Yeah, you get it.
You were stressing about it 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, you're stressing about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't like
stress. It's going to be relaxing. You're going to get the biggest room, my God.
Yeah, I can relax once I travel 8 hours and a day to, and then later have to be at a hotel for a day in order to get on the boat.
Where is the boat? Where's it parked?
It's parked, I think, in Nevada.
Nevada?
You wouldn't know that to the end, Joe.
Yeah.
It's parked near. Well, forget it. I won't try to clean up the joke into making it funnier.
Take your boneless Tylenol with you. You'll be fine.
Yeah, but I don't want to be sick. I want to enjoy my cruise. I want to be able to do karaoke.
Shuffleboard.
Have Marjorie
shuffleboard.
Huh?
Shuffleboard.
Do they still do shuffleboard on cruises?
I'm sure they do.
They better.
What do you mean, Charlie? You're saying I'm sure they do. You've been on the cruise. Why don't you know for sure?
I've never shuffleboard on cruise. But
what?
They have.
Why not? That's like the thing you do. That's the thing you do on cruise.
Yeah, friend. But that's...
I play bingo.
It's probably been changed to pickleboard.
I mean
pickleball.
No, pickleboard.
Oh,
pickleboard!
That's when you throw a couple of kosher dill pickles on the floor and knock them around with sticks.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. This
and I bet you're going to go see the comedian.
Oh, yeah, they got chosen.
They don't have any comedians on this ship.
Oh, how good is it?
Yeah, you should have taken Bubbles with you.
Bring one with you. Take Bubbles. Buy him a cabin. Tell him he's on. Why not?
Listen, I've got, all of a sudden in my life, I've got a lot of money, but I ain't blown it on Bubbles coming on a cruise with me. I love Bubbles. I love
Make
Bubbles
him work
to
for that.
Death.
He's got to work for it, Alex. Make him work for it.
Well, by the way, for you people out in California, we have just agreed to be in San Francisco towards the latter end of January. To do that show in San Francisco, they have a thing called the Sketch Mania or something like that, Sketch Fest, and where they're bringing us in on a weekend. I mean, yeah, weekend.
To do what?
To do a show. Lori,
what does that mean?
Lori and I and Bubbles. And all the people that used to do the radio show, and then I'll invite some of the comedians in.
And where was it broadcast?
What? This isn't going to be broadcast.
Well, why not?
Why?
It's going to be a live show.
The only way I'm going to make money out of this. The only way I'm going to make money out of this is if people buy tickets. You know, if I give it to them for free, why do they want to buy a ticket?
Or if you could give tickets to your friends.
Don't forget your bottle of Tylenol.
What is this?
Oh, they finally opened a restaurant, I think.
Oh, yeah. That place kind of looks like it's a whorehouse.
Is he on the boat?
Well, that's the ceiling fan. That's what that is with the light. There we go. No, it even looks more like a whorehouse. Anyway, so that's my problem, and you know, I'm gonna maybe go down and see a doctor tomorrow at this clinic and see if I can maybe get some antibiotics or something that they think might solve the problem. And we're going.
When are you leaving? When are you leaving, Alex?
Leaving on Tuesday.
Oh, have a nice trip.
Huh?
You should have a nice trip.
Well, if the plane
yeah,
doesn't.
Tony, you don't have to see Tony for 2 weeks.
I'll have a nice trip if two planes don't crash and a boat doesn't sink or get kidnapped by, you know.
You'll have a good time.
At least you get out of the country. And when that, you know, you won't have no Trump news or nothing. You probably won't hear that.
I won't have no Trump what?
No Trump news. I bet you when you're on the boat, it'd be nice.
I'll be annoyed by Trump anyway. I'm going to other countries. You have to understand.
Yeah. They probably hate us.
I think.
Yeah, don't tell them you're American.
I think Mark knows what I'm talking about. We have to go to other countries. And when you go to other countries, they have to like us. And yeah. When they immediately have a judgment about us, it's not very good. So
just tell them you're Canadian.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if that does that fly.
Sure.
Yeah. But you see, on the other hand, in some cases, like I found years ago when I was in the in London during right after Kent State. Mm-hmm. And there was a demonstration in the middle of the square where we were staying. And I went down to see the demonstration. People would come up to me and they'd say, "You look like you're an American." I say, "Yes." And then they would say, let us just say how sorry we are. No, for what's happening in your country and the way it's treating its own citizens.
Yes.
And that's why we're here demonstrating. And it was, you know, they feel sorry for us. You know, they can't feel happy for us, can they? You know? I mean, oh, I'm so happy we've got Trump. You've got to get, going to have a good time. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. But so, you know, but I mean, I think we might get some sympathy being Americans over there. You know? And immediately they'll say, tell you how sorry they are. And if I say thank you very much, you know they haven't made a faux pas. And we probably get into a nice conversation.
Yeah, wear your MAGA hat.
Wear my anybody see the latest South Park?
I didn't see it. I taped it.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
Okay, I gotta watch it.
Yeah, they made a big deal out of Brendan Carr constantly shitting his pants. So they're you know taking.
I think Trump probably had to change his diaper when he got to the top of the escalator the other day. You know, having to walk that far up steps.
I loved how all the people in MAGA land, the people on Fox and so on, were saying how sorry they felt for the First Lady and for him because they didn't like the idea that they had to walk all the way up those stairs and they may have fallen down and hurt themselves.
Oh, it's worse. It was a plot. It was a UN plot against the President and the First Lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
They plotted against them. They stopped the elevator hoping that they would kill them.
You know, the funny thing is I think it was some of his staff that was trying to film him come up the elevator.
Yeah,
the
videographer.
Accidentally hit the button and stopped the escalator. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, it was, they think the videographer tripped it, yeah. But he wants to have a full investigation. Isn't it costly enough that we flew him so far this week to New York and back and then to New York again for the Ryder Cup and then back to Washington? I mean, come
now they're
on.
Flying every general in the world in to listen to Mr. Hegseth, the idiot, talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the hell is that all about?
I don't know. I don't get it.
Alex, what? Would you like to talk about the Jimmy Kimmel situation?
Well, I did talk about it last week, but I'll talk about it again. And it's very good news that the two chains that said they weren't going to carry him any longer are now carrying him again.
Because they want money. And
somebody else.
Well, it's not they want money. I think that, you know, all the heat is over. So they just want to, you know, keep that portion of their audience who does like, I mean, that portion of their audience that doesn't like Jimmy Kimmel weren't watching him anyway.
Right.
Okay. So they want to get those people they lost.
I mean, times the viewers that he had before.
Well, I'm sure repeats of Family Feud aren't getting them the money that, you know, that they would get there. So, and also Jimmy's ratings are really off the charts right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that was without those stations.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 20% of the affiliates.
Yeah. But
he
probably
gets more people watching than Trump does when he speaks.
There's a lot of misinformation about what the FCC does and what they're capable of doing, and what's right and what's wrong. And the fact that nobody seems to actually say, hey, you know, the FCC is not acting in the interest of their charter.
Right.
You know, they're completely off kilter about their charter on this one. They should realize that they don't have, you know, any kind of a big deal going on here. I'm really bothered by the whole thing, you know. So, what'd you want to ask?
Actually, I just want to mention that I don't really watch TV, and I never really listened or watched Jimmy Kimmel. But when they started playing his monologue coming back, the first thing I thought was, gee, he sounds like David Letterman. And then tonight, before your program, I was listening to Fresh Air, and they did an old interview with Kimmel, and it turns out he's inspired. David Letterman is one of his heroes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does sound very much like David Letterman. And
yeah, he said that.
Style of humor, the same timing. It's amazing.
Oh, when he was a kid, his mother would buy him David Letterman merch for his birthday. You know,
that's how I found out.
I mean, that's how much of a acolyte of Dave's he was, and it's terrific that there's somebody like that, because he's the only one that truly understands how you do a late night show. You know, and I enjoy watching.
Last couple nights, his shows have been all over Trump.
Yeah. Well,
it's always
night.
Been that way. Always.
It's every night.
If he gave Trump any pause, everybody would start saying, hey, he sold out somehow to get back on the air.
Right.
And the last thing Disney wants is that. Okay? So
he didn't sell out.
Didn't sell
out. He basically said a couple of things about what he didn't mean. And then moved right back into Trump and the orange man in the house.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean,
he didn't waste no time.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about him was
great.
Is that what he did is he started going after Trump again, but what am I trying to say here? It was perfect. It was pitch perfect the way he came back. I mean, he went after Trump, he did this, he did that, then he mentioned the wife of Charlie Kirk and how she said in her speech that, you know, I forgive the man who killed my husband because that's what Christ would have wanted me to do. And then Jimmy, you know, said with a kind of tear in his eye, he said, that's the kind of graciousness we should have in this country. And so he wasn't even kowtowing to the whole thing. He was just saying how he truly felt, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel he was a sellout at all for 1 minute. Plus, I didn't think he said anything terrible. So
no,
yeah. And on top of that, you know, getting back to that that memorial when what's her name, Erica Kirk, really made that real. And I when I heard it, I thought, wow, that's really a very sincere. And that's actually a real way a real Christian would respond.
Yes.
And then to justify, I heard the Trump thing first and didn't realize that, when he says that, oh, I hate my enemies, it's that kind of like, oh, aren't I being cute? And then he could later say, oh, I was just being funny or I was just joking around. But to put it with, after that, with him coming with that tone, it's sort of like very tone deaf. And it's sort of like, he doesn't have a clue. I mean, it's like, it really, he was insulting her religion.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. and then they're saying that Kimmel was being insensitive. I mean, Trump was being 1,000 times more insensitive by making light of Erica Kirk's Christian faith. Mm-hmm. That's why my take on it.
Well, I think that what was important to get across, and I think he did a pretty good job of it, was to get across the fact that what Donald Trump was doing was really insensitive. That it yep. didn't. It didn't. He didn't care about her or about the death of this guy. That all he cared about was himself.
He cared about his ballroom. Yeah.
Yes, because at one point they asked him, "How do you feel about the death of Charlie Kirk?" And he said, "Have you seen the new ballroom we were building?"
Yeah. So I'm doing cocaine. Oh, by the way, look at the ballroom. Look at all the construction workers and all. Yes. Like,
I mean, come on, that's a perfect moment for you to. He doesn't know how
we
to.
We all believe differently.
What? What?
We all grieve differently.
I see. We all grieve differently? Okay. Yeah.
And that was Kimmel's joke. He says he'd gone into the construction stage of grief.
What did Kimmel also say this week? That he said that Trump had written something about him in which he said, we can't believe you. They gave you your job back. And he said, well, quite frankly, we can't believe we gave you your job back.
Yeah, right. That was
yeah,
funny.
Right,
yeah. Yeah.
He hit some perfect notes. Mm-hmm. And I think his ratings are going to, his high numbers are going to last for a while. Yeah. And all he's got to do is keep doing a show that people want to watch. That's all.
Yeah.
Are you a fan, Mark, of Kimmel?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And Colbert. Yeah. And it's a good current bunch of late nighters now.
Yeah.
And you know, someone today pointed out being on Nixon's. List. Remember, Nixon had his.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on that list.
Yeah. Okay. You were on it, but I'm on that 400 names. 400 names on.
Yeah, there were another 1,200 names, and I was on that list. Yeah. I didn't make the A team, folks.
You were on the audit list.
Yes. I was on the. That's exactly what it was.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But I had no real income, so how could they audit me? Yeah. I remember those days with Nixon, and I thought that was terrible. But you know something? It was just a pain in the ass compared to this. You know, well, this is serious stuff.
We said it before, but, the ironic thing is if Nixon had Trump's Supreme Court, he would have served out his second term, because they would have ruled that, that those tapes were his property. He didn't have to release them and Watergate would be just a footnote.
Well, it was, You know, we dealt with Nixon back then. We thought it was horrible. We thought this is as bad as it could get. We didn't understand it could get a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah, for one thing, he had an honest Congress. I mean, he had the Republicans were actually honest people.
Well, they were honest and they were they didn't line up for somebody particularly. They just did their job, you know. And
I got a funny quote from Stephen King because I'm reading one of his books and I follow him. He goes, one difference between Nixon and Trump, when the Republicans nominated Nixon, they didn't actually know he was a crook.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
That's a good point, though, you know.
But they knew that Trump was, and that's kind of what he
alludes to. Yeah, that's great.
He's great, yeah. I follow him on Twitter, and he's so good. I mean he's... He's sharp as a, like, still sharp as a tack with everything.
Yeah. So, anyway, so y'all gonna miss me when I'm gone?
Yeah, sure. You can make the videos. Take some photos.
There are two chances for plane crashes.
Yeah.
And there's a chance for a boat to sink. So, you know.
I would say, what's the better chance? I would say the plane, because you got two
terrorist events.
I have friends who were on a boat that sank.
Really?
Remember the boat that went down to Antarctica and sank? I two of my friends were on that boat.
Oh, that's supposed to be a great cruise.
Yeah. But anyway, everybody got rescued. Nobody drowned. So, but yeah.
Imagine the one cruise you're taking, and they say, "All right, you got to get. We got a hole in the front. Everybody got
to have lifeboats, Tony.
There's a hole in the bucket.
They have tons of lifeboats on those ships.
Supposedly, when you first get there, before they let you do anything, they have you go to stations or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Suppose you don't show up for that.
do they
throw you off the boat?
No.
I don't know. I had to go every time.
But our good friend Charlie here did it. You know?
Yeah. No, they don't give you the option. If you show up at the plane, you're going to be at that
absolutely. The meeting.
Yeah. Yep.
What do you mean? What do you mean if I show up at the plane?
If you show up at the plane to get on the boat.
The plane.
You will be at the
gangway.
They're going to take you to the
Captain Ahab.
No, but the boat is. I'm staying at a hotel overnight, and then I'm taking a car out to the boat.
Right.
And when you walk up the plank, to the boat,
they will not leave port until everybody has been at that orientation.
Debriefed or whatever,
So if I don't wait a minute, let me get this straight.
If you don't go, they will either kick you off the boat or they will not leave.
Mark knows me really well. He knows I love this idea. You mean if I don't go to that meeting?
You're called all the enough.
Do they know who isn't there?
You have a card.
Suppose I go hide somewhere on the boat somewhere while they're doing
it. Your card was not, you were not on at the meeting because your card won't show up there.
Right now I found out that here's the worst thing about this. I found out that Marjorie is the person who is listed as the first sailor.
Oh, shit.
And I'm the second sailor. And I can't sign up for anything. She has to do it. Well, fuck that, okay? I'm going to do everything I can to screw up their little boat.
So you're going to bring your Tylenol, and she's going to bring her bullwhip to keep you in order.
We didn't have any problem like that. I mean, each of us, we could go our own way and do our own things. It didn't matter. I didn't have to
That was the only requirement when you get on the ship is go to that meeting.
Yeah. No, they also have a video you have to watch.
Yeah, it's the Titanic sinking.
Yeah.
I don't remember any video.
I don't remember
that meeting
either.
Huh? That meeting, they tag you.
Yeah,
they tag you with an air.
They know.
They tag you with what?
You have an identification card. You have to wear at all times on the boat.
Looks like a credit card.
Yeah.
God, I feel like I'm a fucking. I feel like a fucking puppy for crying out loud.
They know where you are every minute. They know. If you go somewhere,
They know everywhere I am on the boat. Suppose
it's probably got GPS built into that car.
Suppose I jump off into the water.
They will know you're not on the boat anymore.
You're down one.
Yeah. Oh, it's
stopping a big boat like
you
that.
You want to have some fun, Alex?
What?
Alex, if you want to have some fun, take a paper Lay's potato chip bag with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're walking around near the deck, put the card in the bag and seal it.
Like a Faraday cage.
What
do they do? Do they come get you because your card isn't showing up?
Yeah, you'll see security come there.
I'm like jury duty.
They show up right away.
I didn't throw my thing
up. They think you jumped off.
Well, the first thing I'm buying on board is a Frito-Lay bag.
No, they don't have them on board. You got to take them on board.
You cannot bring food and stuff on board. No.
You can buy potato chips there if you want them, right?
They don't have the same bag.
You mean I have to eat all that fattening food that they try to serve me?
Yeah. I guarantee
nice spicy bacon
on every crew.
But you can take a bag in your pocket.
Can you? You do know I'm going to get arrested, don't you?
You also know that when you get back on board after you've been at port, they're going to make you go through a metal detector.
Yes.
Really?
Sure you didn't pick up any bombs or anything like your
knives, certain things.
Yeah, like weather undercurrents.
Then I have to come back, and the hardest part in coming back isn't leaving Greece. It's getting back into the United States.
Oh, yeah.
It always has been. It always will be.
You go through customs. It's no big deal.
Oh?
Before, but I haven't done it since Trump's gotten office.
Alex.
Yes. Hostage. Why did you go out of the U.S.?
I forgot what Shecky called it. You might know what it is, Alex. He used to do it before he went. He would clear it like a week before he would leave, so that when he went down, he'd be able to go right through.
Well, it's called Global Entry, but I have to go out to the airport to get it.
Oh, that's what he did. Yeah, you should tell me.
Yeah. Okay. And why we can't get it in Midtown somewhere or location here. No, you got to go out to the airport. And the only way we could do it is maybe going over to the place and signing up for it and everything. But we got to take a wheelchair. Okay, and they don't just want to wheel us any different places than they want. They want to take the most direct route, okay? So, I mean, they make it very difficult for you to get it. Yeah. It's like here in New York, we have these senior cards for the subway, right? Marjorie lost hers. You know where she has to go? All the way downtown, which is about 7-8 miles, right? To go get a new one. She can't go online and just simply say, I lost mine. Here's my information. Let's go with it, you know? Yeah. Be glad you're not back in New York, Mark. You know?
They're going to make sure people see you. Only
going
to
make sure she's not
going to
lose it again.
Yeah.
You need that.
Especially because she's a senior, it should be made easier for her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to let us know what boat you're going to be on the cruise, and we can follow you on GPS.
Well, I'm going to be doing things at least on Facebook with Marjorie. And I might do some shows that will wind up on YouTube, but I don't know yet. You just have to wait till you see some signal go up. I, on the other hand, I don't want to spend my whole time doing programs while I'm there.
No, enjoy yourself.
Take nice photos. You like to take the photos. Get your camera.
She's got a camera. She's got her iPhone.
You got one, too.
But Mark, tell them you're the photographer.
He's got a good photo.
How good is the camera in the iPhone?
Now it's pretty damn good.
It's scarily good.
Yeah.
You know, and I have found it to be. I bought Marjorie a Canon years ago, and all of a sudden we get the iPhone, and I went. It's better than any Canon I bought her.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's 4K. It's got great resolution. It even takes great video.
If you get the new 17, I don't know which one, but it's 120 megahertz now or something like that.
Megapixels? Now, I don't think it's that much, is it, Mark?
48 stacked.
48 stacked? What does that mean?
Okay, put you this way, Alex.
Yeah.
One of my cameras is 45 megapixels.
Yeah.
One of my opinions.
Yeah.
Okay, now I got this squeezed in to something the form factor of an iPhone.
Wow.
You know, and it's got zoom. I mean, granted, it's not like my super zoom lens that I use.
I don't know. The Pro, the 17 Pro has 8 times optical zoom.
Yeah, but it doesn't, it's not.
I got 100.
It's not a, if I'm doing video, it's not a very good zoom to use. You know.
I don't
Sometimes I use 1600 millimeters for my zoom.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's no iPhone, no phone that does that.
No.
Okay, so
yeah,
there's things that I got to keep my DSLR.
There's still a problem with the fact that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't do a smooth zoom. You know, you got to use your fingers to do
it. A lot of people do shows like this on an iPhone.
Yes, but they do static stuff, and they don't go to telephoto. And if they are going to, they stop the camera for a second, and then they move it to telephoto, and then shoot it. You know. I'm telling you, the best way, I mean, I was thinking of getting myself a new regular video camera, which is easy for me to shoot with, but I really didn't want to, you know. I need something simple now, and these things are simple. And then I've got the GoPro. The GoPro's terrific, you know.
We're gonna get tours of your cabin 7 days a week.
No.
You're not going to leave the cabin.
No, because I will probably have a temperature of like 190 or something.
You'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
Well, they take their temperature too.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but you know something? They'll probably use one of these things I have where you click the thing, you put it up to the person's forehead.
Take your Tylenol.
I'm telling you right now. I have the one I put up to my forehead. Right. And it doesn't, it's not the same temperature as the temperature of the digital.
It's a camera. They're using a camera.
That's right. They're gonna do it by just like a.
So take your Tylenol an hour before and wear a hat.
Ah, screw them. I already took a COVID test. What are they making a big deal out of it?
Yeah,
I
mean, are they going to be Nazis about everything?
Yellow fever.
Yes. Yeah, Alex, you have to understand that you give up rights to be on there. And you're in international waters. They can commit acts of criminal activity that are not crimes in international waters. So what you think is a crime in the U.S. Mm-hmm. may not be a crime on the boat.
Better hope Trump don't think you're coming from Venezuela.
Yeah. Whoa.
It's Venezuela.
Yeah.
Venezuela, that's all the same.
Anyway, there's our theme.
Will you be on next week?
No.
What about Monday?
Monday I will be on. Monday we'll be doing
the Monday show. He never misses the Monday show.
Well, I will miss it for at least 1 week. Yeah. But anyway, so this is it, and I'll see you again, I guess, after the 12th. I'll be back on.
Well, you have a great trip, Alex.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Have a good time.
Oh, thank you. I'm just going to enjoy the hell out of it.
Video the karaoke for us.
I can hardly wait to go now. It's just terrific. Anyway, Mark Thorner, thank you so much. And, of course, Kevin, thank you for being here. Tom, nice of you to show up tonight. Josh Wheeler, always good to have you here. Charlie Wallace, yeah, cruise expert. Alan, thank you. Thank you to Tony, and thank you to Bree. Everybody, big
wave. Feed the cats in Greece, Alex. Feed the cats.
Yeah. Just give a big wave goodbye, and I will give a big wave goodbye at you, okay? There they go, folks. Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay. That's it. We'll see you again on Monday for the pop-up show, and then we won't see you for about 2 weeks of rambles. And then we'll be back on the 14th, I think, is what is it? I'm trying to look here. 14th? Yeah, 14th. I'm thinking. Yeah, 15th. 15th. That's right. Now I got it. Unless I've got a fever again. Anyway, I'll see you at that time. In the meantime, everybody, say goodbye to everybody. And Amy Manuel is next. And we will be back here after our vacation. In the meantime, just next time we show up, just to tell her I love her, okay? I forget how to say it without the normal thing. Anyway, we'll see you next in a couple of weeks. Bye.